Jerry Bader Show 1036. If you want to weigh in on this, get in right now. I've just got a word or two more to say about it, and then I'm on to other things. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. James Taranto of the Wall Street Journal is coming under fire from feminists and others because he suggested that when two drunk people have sex on a college campus, it isn't automatically the man's fault. Do men try to get women drunk to take advantage of them? Of course they do. Is it irresponsible, though, on both parties to get that drunk? Yes, it is. Now, that doesn't mean if by design he used alcohol to have sex with her that it's still not an assault. Of course it is. Here's the thing, though, that Taranto's pointing out, and these are where a lot of the false accusations come from. A woman wakes up morning after remorse, wasn't really forced, nobody really forced themselves upon her, but now she's feeling embarrassed, guilty, whatever, and she decides it was assault. This does happen. And there have been cases where law enforcement saw it that way, and the college continued to punish and sanction the man. These are the cases that Taranto's talking about. I think the mistake that Taranto made is he didn't spend enough time saying, look, sometimes men do use alcohol as a weapon. But unlike a gun or a knife, you can refuse to drink it. I want to read this, and then we'll take a couple of calls from a female listener. Yes, the morning after. When a girl has buyer's remorse over who she slept with the night before, it is too easy to cry rape. Now, before all the women out there go crazy, she writes, I have been actually sexually assaulted. That's why I'm painfully aware of the difference between a real rape and a drunken bad decision. Girls nowadays seem to be taught to be the victim. Doesn't matter what you wear, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter where you go. The girl is never at fault. That may be true in a perfect world, but this world is not very perfect. Girls need to be responsible for their actions and their decisions. If you got drunk and slept with someone you regret sleeping with, that makes you a whore who needs to look at your own behavior. It does not make you a victim of rape. That is the words of a female listener to this show. Leo and Shauna. Leo, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. How do you think they would handle it if it was a man accusing another man of rape?
Well, yeah. Okay, what would happen then? Not you would assume, and I see where you're going with this, you would assume that the man accusing would automatically be believed.
That's okay. What I'm thinking. And what if it's a woman accusing a man?
Yeah. Well, you know what's going to happen there. And look, I will say this. I know guys who got drunk in college, had sex, and regretted it. That had they been sober, they would not have had sex with that particular woman. That does happen. If a guy says that and says, well, she forced herself on me when I was incapacitated, how many cases of that have we ever heard around college campuses? To Jane, Leo, thanks for the call. To Jane, Jane sounds suspiciously like a dial tone. All right, seeing no further calls, and I do want to get on to other things. But I think that is where Taranto did err. I think he takes too lightly the fact that, yes, guys do take advantage of drunken women. They do try to get them drunk. He is right, though, that unless they hold you down and pour the alcohol down your throat, you had a choice. Again, that doesn't mean it isn't rape, but you had a choice. Sometimes it is too people who made a drunken mistake. And too often what's happening is law enforcement sees it that way, but the college continues to put sanctions against the male, even though the criminal justice system decided that it wasn't rape. I don't think the outrage that Taranto is facing is deserved. I think some criticism is deserved because I read the whole piece. The way in which he wrote it, I don't think he did put enough emphasis on the fact that alcohol can be used as a tool, if not a weapon. And that's the mistake that I think he made. State Assembly last evening passed on a 62-37 vote the tax cut proposal. Two Democrats, Representative Stephen Smith and Amy Sue Brewink, joined all Republican members in voting in favor of the roughly $505 million tax cut proposed by Scott Walker. Brewink is expected to be a GOP target in 2014. Smith is a freshman representative from a rural district. The tax cut moves on to the Wisconsin State Senate, where its future is somewhat less certain. While the proposal is likely to pass in some form, a handful of GOP state senators have concerns about adding to the state's structural debt. In addition, by the way, one of those is Rob Coles of the Green Bay area. In addition to the $505 million tax cut, Walker is adjusting the state's withholding tables to allow taxpayers to keep as much as $322.6 million, bringing the total level of tax relief to more than $800 million. And as you know, there have been allegations that a specific senator is trying to muck up the works in the Senate. That does not appear to be true, but I don't know if this is going to move through tweak-free in the Senate. It will be interesting to see. I know that there are senators, and there are just conservatives, who don't think this is a priority with Wisconsinites. We put that call to the test on this show, and an overwhelming number of conservatives listening to this show said, yeah, it's our money, give it back. Irrespective of what you think, how overwhelming the outcry is from the public on this, it is the right thing to do. Mary Burke, however, has called it irresponsible. You will note one Democrat that considers herself vulnerable knew enough to vote for it. They know this is popular with the electorate, and if she keeps pushing that, I think that's going to be very interesting. As many of you know, I have become a target for Walmart haters. It's because I advocate for a Walmart store in downtown Green Bay, which is being proposed, and the absolutely irrational Walmart haters who are working on 20-year-old information and believing everything about Walmart that they hear from union forces that hate the fact that Walmart isn't unionized, peddle about Walmart. You know that. During the Olympics, Walmart debuted an ad touting the fact that over the next 10 years, they plan on purchasing $250 billion of American-made products over the next 10 years. It's called I Am a Factory. I want to play it for you right now. The voice, the VO as we call it, the voiceover, should be very familiar to you. Now, you miss some of it by not seeing the optics, but you'll get the idea. Jason, go ahead.
At one time, I made things, and I took pride in the things I made. And my belts whirred, and my engines cranked. I opened my doors to all, and together, we filled pallets and trucks. I was mighty. And then one day, the gears stopped turning. Still here, and I believe I will rise again. We will build things and build families and build dreams. It's time to get back to what America does best.
And then there's a graphic saying, well,
because
Walmart,
work is a beautiful thing.
What Walmart plans on doing. Is that work is a beautiful thing. And again, he's of dirty jobs. Even dirty jobs are a beautiful thing. That would be Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs. He is being pilloried on his Facebook page by the Walmart haters. I want to address that in 3 minutes. And his response. It's 10:45.
Things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.